Welcome to the Get Inspired Project. I'm Toni Reese, and today I am joined by Peter Boxa. Peter, welcome to the Get Inspired Project.
Yes, thank you very much. Pleasure to be here.
Peter, take a moment and tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm from Chicago, Illinois, a Midwesterner. I wrote two books recently. One is The Point of Power, and the second one is coming out here in about a week, and it's called It's None of My Business What You Think of Me.
I like that. Well, Peter, thank you for being here, and let's go into the first question of the project. What does inspiration mean to you?
Well, inspiration, I think, is when one is in spirit, meaning that we're not in ego. I believe that it's when we approach a human transaction with a consciousness of love versus fear, from a consciousness of spirit versus ego. I believe that it's your consciousness, the quality of your consciousness in the moment, that creates the quality of the moments in the next life situation, if you will.
Okay, I'm going to take you back to the human transaction. So you, inspiration occurs during a human transaction, and what happens?
Well, it's inspiration is something that I believe is you're inspired to act in a certain way. Mm-hmm. Your consciousness inspires an action, and so I believe we have two choices. One is to come from a place of ego, and oftentimes ego is fear, and or we have a choice to come from inspiration, and with meaning in spirit, which means we're going to approach a life situation from a point of love and trust and faith.
Now, how do you put that meaning into practice?
Well, I mean, I'm not great at it, but I try to listen more than talk. I think loving versus telling. I think being versus doing. And most importantly, I think trusting in yourself and a higher power versus being fear or doubting.
Is there a specific example? Because these are wonderful ways to put inspiration into practice. Can you give a specific example of how that was used to, I don't know, to move into action for you?
Can you be a little bit more clear? Do you mean?
Yeah, absolutely. So listen more than talk, and to be loving and to trust, and to being versus doing. Give us an example of how you do that on either a work level or a personal level.
Well, I think that the consciousness that I attempt to come from when I talk about listening versus talking and loving versus telling, I think it's a host mentality that I suggest coming to a transaction with. How can I be of service to the people or organizations that I'm involved with? I think that's the consciousness and the mentality versus what am I going to get out of this? I'm afraid that they're going to take advantage of me. I'm concerned about the future because this happened to me in the past. The key is the quality of your consciousness, and obviously, you know, if you read my books, that's really what these books are about. It's about how do you manifest life situations that are in alignment with your desires, and oftentimes we're our own worst enemy.
Well, that leads me to the next thought. Have you always had this state of consciousness, and have you always been aware that this is what inspiration means to you?
Well, no, not at all. In fact, I would say that my beginnings were very humble. I had no idea what was going on. I was thrust into a situation where there was familial trauma. I definitely struggled early on. I was put in a parochial situation where I was, you know, religion was thrust upon me, and I think I was somewhat precocious, and that the questions I asked didn't get answered. Yet again, I saw a light beneath kind of the human misinterpretation or interpretations that I thought were contradictory, and it's that truth that I guess even then I was really interested in determining what it was, and that's what I talk about in The Point of Power and even the next book.
So what has been your greatest life lesson to date?
Well, I think that again, it's from a perspective of, you know, the way that I'm looking at a situation is crucial. And I think that one of the most important thing is for me was to determine that there's more to me than what I do, my body, my personality. And I think more importantly that there's a set of laws and principles that are all-encompassing that I can count on, that I'm a spirit essentially having human experiences. Now, some people call this God, and then I kind of bring the idea that, you know, what is God? And I think some people like Stephen Hawking and Richard Feynman, who are Nobel laureates that studied quantum physics, which is, you know, are basically our most contemporary cutting-edge view of the universe, they call this M-theory. And then they explain some of it using something called string theory and quantum mechanics. Bottom line, I mean, one of the things that I was just in Beijing, China, and it was this last Sunday. I was at the Lama Temple, and I met a Tibetan monk, and I interviewed him. And what was interesting, that the thing that came out of the interview was that bottom line, we must have faith in something beyond ourselves. And all of the rituals and meditations that this man had been going through since he was a child was all about refining this thought and this belief and essentially improving his ability to communicate with the same source energy that create worlds from nothingness. Now, he would call that Buddha.
Hmm. How would you correlate this life lesson to what inspires you?
that's a tough question. How does this light?
Maybe there isn't, but I'm just wondering if there is a direct correlation between your life lesson that's been learned to what you put into practice and what inspires you.
Well, there's absolutely a correlation. In other words, it's how I approach a transaction, whether it's romantically or whether it's in business. By focusing on the idea of being of service and bringing that consciousness to the table versus coming to the table and saying, what can I get out of this? That manifests an entirely different quality of life for me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know if that answers your question, but the inspiration comes from the knowledge that there is a source energy out there that will take what I send it and will take care of all the details for me. I have that faith and I have that knowing. And I didn't have that before. I didn't have that before I did the research for the book. Mm-hmm. I didn't have that, you know. I haven't had that all that long.
Well, that's interesting because a lot of people are going to be listening to you right now and they're going to be saying to themselves, or they might be saying to themselves, how did you get there? How did you get there? How did you come to realize this?
That's a great question. The key was, I think the key element that I have is that I'm fairly introspective and open, and I struggled. I mean, I struggled and struggled and struggled, and nobody likes to struggle, so... going back to the concept of contrast, when you come into a situation, you're like, well, this doesn't feel right. What do? Well, you begin to formulate another desire and then align your behaviors with that desire. And I followed that pattern real well. I also, a lot of the concepts that I talk about in the book, I've been doing naturally from the age of, 6 or 7 years old. Mm-hmm. Visualizations and things like that, and I was an avid artist and musician starting at a very early age, so I think that had something to do with kind of motivation and having the building blocks to get to pursuing
and plus,
this truth further.
And plus the research that you did for the book helped to solidify that too, didn't it?
No, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. In fact, I mean, I had a pivot in consciousness and thought even after I finished my interview with this Tibetan monk. It was an amazing interview.
Hmm. So, Peter, what do you want your legacy to be?
Well, I'm just excited. I'm really excited about the research that I've done. I've gotten amazing feedback from people that I've shared the book with. I've done a couple of interviews and got emails from people that, you know, that they are thinking along the same lines and they express their excitement that someone's writing about it. And I'm just excited to share through my books, and I hope to do seminars. I would like to be the bridge for all of us folks that are so educated through the process of becoming educated to become cynical of anything outside ourselves. I mean, I want to help those of us that are having difficulty believing in love and people and life. I mean, I think we're using corrupt data. We believe is true because some professor at Harvard, our parents, our teachers, our peers said it was true. And of course, we had no choice other than to eat it up. And now we regurgitate it out in life situations that are hopefully good, some probably bad, some indifferent. I want to show that it's not what we see or even what we do, but most importantly, what we believe and the quality of our consciousness and thinking that most has the most impact on our lives.
Peter, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, I'm trying to think what else. I mean, I think that, you know, one of the keys, the key points that I want to get across is that each individual is responsible for their life, and that they, in fact, have total control, that these things aren't accidents. And if, as you begin to become more present and more, you begin to observe your thoughts, you begin to see the connection, the synchronicities. And so, I mean, I think that, you know, we're at the helm of life's ship. I think we navigate our lives in the natural based on how we think about things. And I believe that our consciousness is actually our compass versus how we think about things, or not what we do, but how we think about things, I should say.
Well, we definitely will have your link at the bottom of this transcript, and so that people can check out your books and learn a little bit more about you. And for taking time out of your busy schedule to be part of the Get Inspired Project, we cannot thank you enough.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you. It's a great project.
Thank you, Peter. Take care.